Evening, good evening.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for God's faithfulness?
Amen.
Amen. Let's thank the Lord again for his faithfulness. Amen. I love that song. Welcome to our Wednesday evening service. If you want to go ahead and turn with me to Psalms, the 15th chapter will be there in, 25, 30 minutes. We're continuing, of course, in our Proverbs series, and we come tonight to a very crucial and important matter, and that's the sin of gossip, everybody's favorite sin to talk about, right? Amen? Okay. So, on a topic that is this serious, you try to have a joke or two, but if you're like me, you really don't have that good a sense of humor, so you just have to, pray really hard and hope for the best. But anyway, so what do you get if you cross a poodle with a pit bull? Have you ever thought about that? Well, not much of a watchdog, but you get a vicious gossip, okay? And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about gossip. And for those of you who like to outline, we're first going to deal with the characteristics of gossip. What does it look like? How can we learn to recognize it in our own lives? And then we'll look and see what God's Word says about the consequences of gossip. And then we'll finally close with the control of gossip. How can we control this sin in our lives? Because it really and truly is man's natural tendency to gossip. There's something about the flesh that enjoys hearing things that, like Don Henley said, the dirty laundry, right? I mean, there's just something about the natural man that has that desire. And so let's just define gossip, and we'll build upon this tonight. Gossip denies the limits of what is acceptable to discuss. And when I say discuss, that means it's whether you are speaking it or you are hearing it. I'll say it again. Gossip denies the limits of what is acceptable to discuss. It's like talking or listening about something that you do not have the authority to discuss or even listen to. If you really think about gossip, it's talking to someone about the problem who has no power to change it. It's something that gives absolutely no benefit, and later we'll see what the consequences really are of gossip. Because if you're talking to someone about gossip and they have no power to change the problem, it's in vain. It's a waste in time. It's a waste of time, and actually we'll see from Proverbs there's a lot of consequences, because most of the time in Christendom, this comes in the form of the guise of a prayer request, right? Someone will come to you and say, hey, listen, we really need to pray for our brother. Oh, really? What's going on? Well, you can't say anything. Oh, you can trust me. I mean, like, we're salivating just to hear. You can trust me. Tell me, what is it? I want to pray. Do we? Listen. Or we'll come and say, I just need to unload on a friend. I just really need to get this off my chest. Really? Is that how God says to handle it? We have to be really careful in this situation, because gossip is a sin, and it's a sin against God. And we know that a false witness who speaks lies, we saw that from Proverbs 6, is actually something that God hates. He hates it. And we should hate that too within ourselves, because gossip is not from the Lord. Gossip is from Satan. It says that in Revelation 12:10, it calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. That's actually what he is. And so gossip and slander are attributes of Satan himself. And it's a very dangerous thing for us to have gossip in our life. So if you're with me in Psalm 15, we're going to read this before we go to the Lord in prayer. It says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend, meaning you don't allow a stranger to come or someone that you know and speak evil of your friend in front of you. You'd put a stop to it. That's what it's saying. He who swears to his own hurt, in whose eyes a vile person is disguised, but he who honors and who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, He who does these things shall never be moved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, we thank you for your word and the admonition and correction that we find in it. And Lord, I just ask that you would soften all of our hearts tonight to a topic that is convicting. But Lord, we know that you love those who you correct. And I thank you that we have your word as an example to follow, to truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So Lord, just again, soften our hearts and let us truly understand that we need a desire to love and restore people and promote healing, promote life, not destruction, not gossip and slander. So just bless this time that we have together, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, and the church says,
amen.
Amen. So let's first look at the characteristics of gossip. Like I said, it's important that we know what it looks like, because as we know, sin can be very subtle sometimes. It can sneak in, and the devil, listen, he disguises himself as what? An angel of light. And so it's very easy to fall into certain sins, but this particular sin, the damage that it has caused, and I've seen it cause, and it will be caused in the future within the church walls, is devastating. It's amazing how quickly something like a rumor, something like gossip, can totally destroy a work that has been there for decades, sometimes multiple generations. And so the first characteristics that we see in a person who gossips is they actually spread slander. They actually spread slander. It says in Proverbs 10:18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. It's a very interesting proverb, because if you think, the person didn't necessarily lie, doesn't say that, but they have hatred in their hearts, and so they're actually covering something up. And God says that that person has lying lips, which we know it's something he hates. But if you look at 10:18 again, it says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now, we know the poetic device most commonly used in Hebrew poetry is that of contrast, but we also have parallelism. And this is a parallel statement, which just is a fancy way to say, hey, the second statement is the same as the first. It means the same thing. So spreading slander, therefore, is the exact same thing as hiding hatred. That's part of the cause. It's actually hatred in our hearts. Another translation of this text says, as for the one who conceals hatred with lying lips and who publishes an injurious report, something that hurts another person, it says he is a fool. And what's heartbreaking is, does this not happen all the time in church, in the corporate church? It's an epidemic. It's everywhere. And often people will come up to you, and like I said, it's so subtle, and they'll say things like, you know, what I'm about to tell you is just between us. Or they'll say, you know, I need to tell you something, but it is in the strictest confidence. Or listen, I need to share something with you, and it could be hurtful to someone else, and so I need you to promise me that what I'm about to tell you, you're not going to repeat. Listen, those and similar statements are symptoms of the sin of gossip. And they are that subtle, and they'll sneak in. And God says that the cause of it, the real root of it, is that we have hatred in our hearts. And so we all know that we don't have it in us to love like we're supposed to, right? We abide in the vine. He abides in us. Who produces the fruit? The Holy Spirit, right? We don't produce that fruit. So when you have the love of God, when you and I are truly walking in God's love, gossip is not going to be present in our lives. It's just not going to be there. If we're truly loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're actually going to cover a transgression. That's what it says. We're not going to spread it. I love Proverbs 10:20 and 21. It says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many. They should promote life, bring healing. It says, but fools die for lack of wisdom. So a major, major thing, characteristic in this sin of gossip, is they actually have hatred in their hearts. Number two, a person who gossips reveals secrets. They reveal secrets. It says in Proverbs 11, 12 through 13, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. How sad. So the person that is in our lives, or people in our lives who are practicing gossip, God's word says that they are untrustworthy, that they're unfaithful, that they're people that we should not be in contact with, because it's a sinful thing to betray the confidence that someone has in you. I mean, it really is. That should be something that we're just immediately convicted of, because it's a horrible thing to be betrayed. Amen. It's a horrible thing when you put confidence in someone and they totally betray you. But how worse to be someone who is a representation of Christ, an ambassador for Christ, and then be that demonstration to the world, right? And like I said, we all do it. I stand here convicted, just as convicted as all of you. And Bill's convicted the most. And that's why, like I said, we're going to pray for him, but it's okay. But that characteristic of gossip, listen, you immediately reveal things. You know, just because you have a truth or know a truth about a situation, that doesn't mean you need to share it. Certainly doesn't mean that you have the right to share it. But what happens is, with these gossips, instead of obeying God, instead of protecting people, as he teaches us to do, you actually reveal secrets. You say things about them that you never should, that you have no right to say. I don't like it when people say, well, I know all about that person, and they haven't seen him in 20 years. You know, I hope God is doing a work in all of us, amen? I mean, we're just a bunch of clay. I mean, he's molding us and shaping us, and, you know, sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's kind of like sandpaper. There's a lot of friction, right? But he's smoothing out those areas, and, you know, we all have those rough edges in our lives. But Proverbs 20:19 says, he goes about as a talebearer and reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Only will lead to disappointment. A third characteristic that we see among those who gossip, but we know this one, they stir and sow strife. They stir and they sow strife. It says in Proverbs 10, 11, and 12 that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Isn't that beautiful? The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. So a person that is a gossiper, God's word says, listen, the issue is that you don't have God's love in your heart. You're not abiding in him. And because of that, they sow discord. They sow strife. And the end result is always division. It's always destruction. It says in Proverbs 16, 27 through 28 about this, that an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Isn't that the truth? Listen, Proverbs is clear throughout our entire study. It teaches us that the right word at the right time, said in the right way, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, does what? It promotes life. It promotes healing. It changes people. We know that from 15, 1 through 2, one of my favorite proverbs, that a soft answer turns away wrath, right? But a harsh word stirs up anger. It says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Man, the power that we have in that little member called the tongue. Even in James 3, 6, it tells us that a tongue is a fire, right? A world of iniquity. So you and I all have a choice every day by what comes out of our mouths. And there's two options. We will speak things that will warm a person, that will warm their hearts, that will encourage them, or we will speak things that burn them, that hurt them, that sow discord and sow strife, and will do the exact opposite of what God's word teaches us to do. Very, very sad thing. Number four, another characteristic we see, is that a gossip repeats a matter. A gossip repeats a matter. In a recent study, hope you're writing this study down, in 2020, it found that men are just as likely to spread gossip as women. At least that's what I heard Rick tell Brad. And by the way, he has a crush on Patty. Yeah, I mean, that's really how it is, right? I mean, come on, give me a laugh. I'm tired, you know? Thank you. Gonna buy y'all dinner afterwards. Y'all don't laugh for Bill like that. Praise God. Proverbs 17:9, it says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love." Remember, we're talking about a characteristic here of a gossip. They repeat a matter. But he who repeats a matter, it says, separates friends. And so think about that. If a gossip can destroy a friendship, if it can separate the best of friends, how much more damage is it going to be to the people that we don't really know very well? It's going to be severe, right? It's going to be even worse. If it'll separate someone that's the best of friends that have a history, man, not only are we going to ruin our witness with the world, but also we're going to hurt the body that we're a part of, because we're all members of the same body, the body of Christ, amen? And so it's so important that we're loving each other. You know, you can destroy a friendship overnight, one that you've had for 50, 60 years, because of one word, gossip. I mean, just like that, you can ruin a friendship. It's amazing the amount of scripture that the Bible in a whole dedicates to the topic of slander and backbiting and gossip, which are pretty much all the same thing. It's that same spirit. But the truth is, when we are truly walking in God's wisdom, when He's guiding us, when we understand the will, His will for our lives, and we're carrying it out in obedience, you know what happens? We stop worrying about getting even. We stop worrying about seeking revenge, because I know that God's going to take care of it. And I can walk in that wisdom and know that I don't have to worry about it. I truly know what God's word says, but the question is, do we believe that? Too often, man, we just go after the person who did us wrong, and I understand that. I know how you feel. And, you know, we've buried 5 or 6 people down at the creek over the years. You know, it happens. It happens. But, you know, what are you going to do? You should see how many are down at the Baptist church, praise God. It says in 19:11 that the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. So that means I don't have to get online and start posting horrible things to retaliate so everyone knows that's my friend. And by the way, though, that's not friendship, clicking on a link. But anyway, they're labeled friends. So they can see that, hey, I don't take that. You know, I get back at that person. That's a scary thing, because God says some of the highest honor belongs to believers, belongs to Christians who have had a wrong done to them, but they refuse to talk about it to others. They keep it with God. It doesn't mean that they don't go to the person like the Bible teaches and say, hey, we have a problem here. It doesn't mean that there's the absence of confrontation. It doesn't mean that you just pardon everybody that does you wrong. I'm just going to be a doormat for Jesus. That's not what it's saying, you know. And I'm serious, there is a time to be a doormat. But this is not the situation here. But when it comes to gossip, it's amazing how you stop gossip. One thing, you go to the source. That's all you have to do. You go to the person who won't shut up, who is in sin, who fails correction over and over and over, and you say, hey, stop. It's over. You can do this, but not in this church. So please don't leave angry, but leave. Or be restored, be healed, and stop spreading gossip and slander. Why? Because it destroys other believers. It destroys the work of the Lord. And it has no place in His house or in a believer's life. Amen? We need to avoid that at all cost. Proverbs 21:28 tells us that a false witness shall perish. That's so scary. But it says, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. What does that mean, speak endlessly? It means that the rumor keeps going and going and going because you spread it. And it's all based on a false report. It's based on something that's not true. I've seen situations over the years where you would go and investigate an issue and two believers were mad at each other and they were both wrong. Both of them didn't have all the correct information. They just had part of it. Have you ever seen that happen? Yeah, not us, of course, right? Someone else. But we never seen it in our lives. Man, but what transpired if it didn't involve us, my God, in the name of Jesus, stay out of it. If it's none of our business, if it didn't have anything to do with us, pray for the people. But don't involve yourself in it. That is so important to stay away from that. Number five, when we're talking about these characteristics, and this one's very sad. A practitioner of gossip, someone who's a gossiper, does evil to their friends. We read this at the beginning in Psalm 15, verse 3. It says that he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take a reproach. Remember, he doesn't stand up for his friend. Someone's bashing him. His friend's not there, and he just lets the person destroy him. Nor does he take up reproach against his friend. So it is a mark of a true believer. It is a mark of a righteous person who doesn't do these things. Because no matter if you are the one spreading the gossip, or if you are the one entertaining it, if you are the one listening to it, it is equally sinful and equally horrible to take part in. And it is the exact opposite in every way of what we learned from 17:17 of Proverbs. That's a friend, right? Because a friend loves at all times. There's a divine consistency in them because of the love of God that is in their hearts. And then it goes on to say a brother is born for adversity. So even when time gets tough, it doesn't draw you guys apart. Man, they're there. They're there to help you. That's a true friend. We don't spread slander, and we certainly don't listen to it. It's a real sad characteristic. Another one, number six, when we talk about a gossiper, they actually enjoy listening and spreading slander. This is a hard thing to face. It's really a hard thing for all of us to face because it says in Proverbs 18:8, that the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. Man, that's a truth that we all really need to consider and ask God to help us accept, because the natural man loves to hear gossip. I mean, the more influential the person is or the closer the person is to us, there's something about the natural man. Amen? Amen? Mario, this is such a cool name, you know. In Greek, it'd be Marioi, you know. In Hebrew, it'd be That's not COVID, that was Hebrew. I just want you to know, praise God. They're like tasty trifles, the word of a talebearer, guys. Listen, they're like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost. And this is repeated. This proverb is repeated verbatim in 26:22. It says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles and they go down into the inmost. So when a proverb is repeated in Proverbs, it is done for emphasis. It's saying, listen, this is not only crucial, it is highly important for the entire book of Proverbs. And it's repeated twice. And we see many things repeated twice, but this one is verbatim. When we take part in gossip, that untruth goes down into us. And let me tell you, it's hard to get it out. There's something about it, the way we absorb it. I mean, man, you want to see people pay attention. You know, it's like, hey, did you hear what happened to the church across the street? Huh? You know, I mean, just everybody wants to know, right? Oh, it's a dangerous place to be, because when we are spreading gossip and rumors, or we're listening to that nonsense and we're participating in that sin, listen, what happens is it gets down into the innermost. It tasted good going down, but the lasting result is it's going to have a negative impact on our relationships with one another. You're going to see something. You're going to have an untruth in you that is down in the innermost that you consumed. And let me tell you, it's going to take a long time if it ever does get out. And what's more tragic about it, it was a lie. It was something that was not based on truth. Very, very sad, very negative consequence there, or characteristic of gossip. So now let's just look at a few consequences of gossip, because I tell you, God does not treat this sin lightly. I promise you that. And so number one, when we talk about the consequences of gossip, what does gossip do? Well, number one, it destroys a person's reputation. It destroys a person's reputation. It says in Proverbs 11:9, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Fascinating. It didn't say with his car, he runs him down in the road. Doesn't say he goes and gets his shotgun and assaults him that way. Doesn't say that. That's not how he brings destruction. It says the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. What a tragic consequence here of taking part in gossip. Because the hypocrite, do they give accurate information? No, they don't give accurate information at all because they don't have a sincere heart. And they don't really want to help. That's the problem. They have absolutely zero desire in their heart to bring any form of restoration to an issue. They destroy, it says, by means of their mouth. We can simply destroy a person's reputation just by what we say, and it happens all the time. It happens every day. And I remember talking to my late uncle about this years ago, and I'd just been in the ministry a few years, and I said, man, you know, Uncle Wayne, I don't understand. You know, I'm doing what's right, and these people are believing. I mean, they said they were my friends, and they don't even go to you and say, hey, is this true? And, you know, I was just very young in the ministry, and I had such an issue with it. And he was very gentle to me because he knew, you know, I'm fragile. And so he would say, honey, he called me honey. And he would say, honey, your reputation is what others know you to be, but your character is what God knows you to be. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. I understood what he said here, but God had to do a lot of work to get that here. Amen? It's hard to get it here, especially if you're consuming gossip and it's gone down into your innermost. How we just need the water of God's word to clean us afresh, amen? Just to come in and wash all those sinful areas. You know, Jesus warned us that we're going to be slandered. You know, we're going to be criticized. All those things are going to happen. But it shouldn't come from a fellow believer. That's not where it should come from. It says, Jesus said this in Luke 6, 22 through 23. Blessed are you when men hate you. I have that bumper sticker. And when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Have you ever done that after getting persecuted? I haven't either. It says, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in the manner their fathers did to the prophets. I like what John Stott said. He said that persecution is simply the clash between two irreconcilable value systems. And that is true. We are in, no doubt, a spiritual battle in this world. That's what we are facing. But never forget that severe consequence of gossip, that you could be destroying a person's reputation. And that's a sinful thing. Number two, when we talk about the consequences of gossip, and this one's they're all tragic, but a gossip actually separates friends from each other. It separates friends from each other. In 16:18, it says that a perverse man sows strife and a whisperer separates the best of friends. You know, someone asked me the other day, said, Pastor, can you answer a question for me? I said, probably not, but I'll try. And they said, why is it that people that gossip and slander and tell secrets have the worst breath? I'm still looking for the answer for that. But you know, there's a lot of point in that. It's not in Proverbs, but you know, we're going to get there. It's never happened to y'all because y'all don't gossip, right? But anyway, this is a tragic consequence. It's a tragic consequence because I've seen, and I think all of us have, and we've lost friends, if we're honest with one another, because of things we've said. You know, maybe we thought we knew the truth. Maybe we were sincere, but we were sincerely wrong in it. And somebody believed a rumor, and what happened? Well, it ruined the person's life. But we can't forget that any form of participation in gossip, any form of participation in slander, is going to separate the best of friends. It's going to ruin friendships. And listen, friendship is not clicking on a link and saying, oh, I have 1,000 Facebook friends. That's not what friendship is. It's okay if you have friends on Facebook, but that's not true friendship. A friend, like I said, they love at all times. And it's a special gift from the Lord. And man, we're taught to cherish our friends, to love our friends. Because a lot of times our Christian brothers and sisters, they're the ones that are going to be for us, not our carnal family, not the other people, not our boss at work that doesn't know God. But we need each other to build each other up, to encourage one another. It says in 17:9 that he who covers a transgression, do you cover a transgression? If you do, it says that you seek love. But he who repeats a matter separates the best of friends. How true is that? A third consequence of gossip is that it causes anger. Big surprise there, right? Proverbs 25:23 says, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. So when we gossip, when we talk about somebody that we shouldn't, we repeat something or listen to something that we shouldn't, the end result is always going to be anger in that person. And it's real funny because a lot of times you get angry at the person, not in a sinful way, and they say, well, don't get angry at me. It's like, you caused it. You were the one who was gossiping. You know, I mean, it's just like, don't get angry at you. If we put out the fire, guess what? The gossip stops, you know. But anyway, you know, I need better friends. A final consequence of gossip is that it will not go unpunished. It will not go unpunished. God is not sweeping this under the rug. It's not something that he takes lightly. I think a lot of us, especially because how our culture is, we have gossip, you know, magazines, and I mean, that's what everything is. It's just a bunch of junk half the time. But I've seen a lot of people, and they almost seem to think that gossip is some game, and that it's really not a big deal, and it's something I can kind of casually take part in, and it's not going to have any effect with, you know, the people that I encounter or my walk with the Lord. Listen, that is a lie from the pit of hell. It is going to have a deep impact on you, your spiritual life, and any person that you encounter if you have gossip in your life, because it is not a game. And God says, listen, I'm going to punish the one who gossips. In Psalm 101:5, it says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. So God will actually destroy those who gossip and who speak lies. It says in Proverbs 19, verse 5, and then it's going to repeat it in verse 9, that a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. And it repeats it again. Remember for emphasis, a false witness will not go unpunished. And it says in this time, and he who speaks lies shall perish. It's so true. We're going to reap what we sow, especially in the area of gossip. We know that 26:27 says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. So whoever, according to God's word, listen, the person, whoever is actually practicing gossip, slander, spreading rumors, backbiting, criticizing others, and actually listen to it, we're all going to suffer the consequence, the consequences for our actions. Like I said, God is not treating this lightly, and we need to take this particular area that's treated so lightly in the world, and even in the church now, we need to treat it exactly how God feels about it. Amen? Good, three of you. The rest of you need prayer. So let's get to something encouraging, amen? All right, y'all are depressed, it's okay. How do we control this junk? How can we really have the victory in this life over gossip? Because we can. It doesn't have to rule and reign in our lives. And I mean, just learning about the hurt alone that it causes, right? These consequences, that alone should make any sincere believer say, hey, I want to know how to control this in my life. I don't want to hurt people. I know, we all know how gossip hurts. Amen? We've all had people say things, maybe in your workplace and rumors, things that are totally not true. But those people have hatred in their hearts. They need the love of God. And retaliating, in that sense, it's not going to help. All we can do is give it to God. and not take place in it. But we want to avoid this at all costs. So if we're truly going to control gossip in our lives, number one, we have to have a desire, a sincere desire to protect. We have to have a desire to protect. It says in Proverbs 10:12 that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. So when we take part in gossip, whether we're speaking it or we're listening to it, we are actually demonstrating an issue that we have in our hearts, and it's called hatred. And I tell you, when someone comes up to us and they say something like, you know, have you heard this? We need to stop them and say, hey, listen, is this something that involves me? Is there anything that I could do to change it? Is this about another, is this gossip? You know, because I love you, but I can't take part in that. I don't want to be part in that destruction. You know, I mean, do you even know the whole truth about the situation? I mean, maybe we should investigate that a little more. But see, if we don't have any involvement in that, we need to walk away. We need to make sure, you know, is this something that I'm supposed to hear? Because a prudent man, it says in 12:23, conceals knowledge. He conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. They just spew it out. And so how my prayer is that we all have that sincere desire in our hearts to protect people, but especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because I said earlier, this particular sin is one that I have seen decimate churches. And they were things, rumors and falsehoods that were based on lies. They weren't even true. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13:8 or 13, we know it as the love chapter, right? And our foundational scripture of the church comes from that. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. And if you look at our mission statement, which comes from 1 Corinthians 13, that says in verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What's fascinating about the Greek word there that's translated bears? It's actually the modern Greek word for roof. It's the modern Greek word for roof. See, it's saying when it says bears all things, it's saying love covers all things. There's a desire to protect. There's a desire to love that person, to encourage, to build them up, not to do anything that would hurt them in any way. Love covers all things. It says it in Proverbs and it says it in 1 Corinthians, and that's what the love of God is all about. It's that sincere desire. It's not our love, but it's that love that God produces in us, that fruit of the Spirit, when we're just being obedient unto Him, when we're abiding in Him, and then we can actually start protecting those. We have that desire, that sincere want in our hearts to, man, I don't want to hurt somebody. I want to cover them. If someone's saying bad about my friend or my brother, hey, let's stop that. Are they here? Then shut up. Amen? I mean, seriously, in a nice way, you know. Shut up, please, you know. Second way to control gossip. Listen, we have to have a desire to forgive. We have to have a desire to forgive. You know, listen, a lot of times people hold on to things that they had, when their reputations have been attacked, when they've been slandered, and they'll hold on to that hurt for years and years and years. There's people here tonight, and I won't name any names. No, I can't see you anyway. But they haven't served in years. There's people in the corporate church that haven't served for years because of the slander and the gossip, the things that were untrue that were spoken about them. They have a desire to tell the truth, and you know, they have that desire to step out and serve again, but they've been so wounded, they've been so hurt, they just can't do it. That breaks my heart. That breaks my heart because God has a mighty plan and purpose for all of us. The glory is not being in the pulpit and the glory is not being in the pew. The glory is of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It says, go and make disciples. Amen. That's what really matters. But we have to have that desire to give. And listen, it's not that we don't confront the person. It's okay that you confront them, and it doesn't mean that we don't hold them accountable. But it means that we really stop to consider what we've been given. And when we do that and we say, man, God and His insurmountable grace as our Savior in everything that he has given unto us, the righteousness of God, so we could even have access to him. I mean, you have to go, well, how can I not forgive someone else after God has forgiven me for so much? I mean, that right there should soften our hearts and say, man, I'm just as screwed up as everybody else. But I have a perfect Savior, and we point him to them. It's so important. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Listen, that's a mark of a genuine believer. They forgive. They're not dominated by rumors. They're not dominated by gossip. They have a desire in their heart to forgive. And they recognize, as we've heard many times Pastor Bill say, forgiveness is an act of obedience unto God. It's not a feeling. It's not saying, hey, what you did is right and it was okay. But it's saying, God, I'm going to be obedient to you. And here's the problem. Here's the person who did it. It's yours. It allows him to handle it. It allows him to enter his role as a judge. God can't compromise his holiness. You know, he didn't make us puppets. But man, when we're obedient through him, we will always, always, always have the victory in this life and in everything that we do. So we have to have that sincere desire to forgive. A third thing to control this gossip in our lives, we have to have a desire. Oh, this is so important. We have to have a desire to know the truth. It says in Proverbs 15:7 that the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. You know, a person walking with the Lord is going to have God's wisdom, and therefore they're going to have that desire within their heart to know the truth. And you know, we have to really sometimes dig to figure out what the truth is. I mean, a lie travels way faster than a truth. It takes a lot more work and effort to figure out what the truth actually is. But that's part of being a true believer, because it says in 15:14 that the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. So if we have that true heart of understanding, man, we are going to seek knowledge. We're going to seek the truth. We don't want a partial truth. And like I said, that's the problem. You know, we think we know all sides of it, but we really don't. But man, when we're walking with the Lord, when we're walking in that wisdom that says, hey, I give it freely for those who ask without reproach, just come in faith. Man, when we're walking in that, it changes everything. And like I said, we had that desire for the truth. And what happens? We don't want hearsay. We don't want rumors. We don't want lies. It becomes so unsatisfactory. We see the vileness of the sin that it really is and the damage that it does. Number four, if we truly have that desire in our hearts to control gossip, we have to have a desire to heal. We have to have a desire to heal, and some of us need a desire to allow God to heal us so we can step out and serve again. But we have to have that desire to heal others. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Does gossip hurt? Yes. Does the gospel hurt? Well, sometimes. Depends on who's preaching, right? Now, listen, gossip hurts, doesn't it? I mean, is it painful? It's extremely painful. I mean, it's way more painful than getting hit. I'd rather somebody hit me. No, not after service, please. I saw like five of them got excited. But man, the lasting damage that comes from gossip and slander and all that, it really is painful. We have to have that desire to just stop it where it starts, to not keep that rumor going, to not keep that lie perpetuating and just traveling. To not put, you know, we're going to be judged for our idle words, you know, and when we just blast people online, you know, we have people being held accountable, not even believers, all over for things they've said years ago online. Amen? It's sad. I mean, it's tragic. We're going to be accountable unto God for what we say. And like I said, we want to bring healing to people. Remember when we read in Proverbs 11:30, it says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he who wins souls, that Hebrew word to take or to seize, it says, is wise. Remember, wisdom goes after the heart. This is not about leading people to Christ, which I think is a wise thing to do, and it's a wonderful thing. But what it's saying is, if we're not walking in the wisdom of God when we deal with people, if we don't have that prudence, that discernment, because wisdom is discerning, we're really missing out. We're really missing out, because wisdom goes after the heart. It cares about the person. It doesn't care about the superficial. It cares about what's inside, and it's sincere. Number five, if we're going to control this in our lives, and this is important, we have to have a desire to know all sides of an issue. We have to have a desire to know all sides of an issue. Proverbs 18:17 says, the first one to plead his case seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. That's so true. I mean, the first person that comes and tells you something and you hear it and you don't hear what the backside of the story is, any context, well, they always seem right, don't they? I mean, there's just something about that. But we want to hear the other side. Otherwise, it's going to bring shame to ourselves. It says in Proverbs 28, 8, and 8 through 10, don't go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and don't disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. So it's so important that we know all sides of an issue. We don't just run to courts. Oh, I'm going to sue this person. And then you get there and you figure it out that, well, maybe you were the one at fault. Well, that's called embarrassment, right? Okay, well, I'd be embarrassed. I'm glad y'all are more confident than I am. Praise you, Jesus. Listen, we have to have that desire to protect, to love, to heal, to forgive, but also to seek out every side, all sides of the situation, and even more so for leaders. You know, if we're not involved in the situation, hey, stay out of it. But if we are, especially those who are in leadership, listen, you have to seek out the truth. You have to seek out both sides. I've made plenty of mistakes when you hear something and it seems so true. But listen, I know what I heard is what the person says. But most people don't hear very well anyway. I mean, we have enough seniors that, you know, can testify to that tonight. It's okay. I'm mainly making fun of Pastor Bill because he won't get a hearing aid, but that's okay. If I look that good at 71, well, I have nothing to complain about, whether I can hear or not. Amen. If we want to control gossip, listen, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Proverbs 10:32 says this. We're almost through. Don't go to sleep now. It says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Listen, that word appropriate or proper or acceptable is an extremely important word, because you and I, listen, all believers, we need to be careful what we allow to come out of our mouths. Because we've heard, you know, Pastor Bill say, and many, you know, what we say is just as important as how we say it, right? We want it to be received. And a righteous person understands that. They understand what is fitting, what is appropriate to say before they do. That they check themselves. That there's a desire, like I said, to be careful, to be cautious. I mean, we're dealing with eternal matters here. We're dealing with people, not just inanimate objects or a work thing. I mean, these are people's hearts. These are people's emotions. I don't want to be the cause for someone, just slander them, and then they're going to be out of church for a decade. How can we live with ourselves if we do that? I mean, we want to go and make those things right. I mean, time is short, and we want to point people to heaven. We want to point people to Jesus and say, listen, they say, oh, man, you got something going on, and you, man, tell them it's only the Lord if you see anything good in this clay pot. The treasure is Jesus, amen? And we always want to point them to Jesus, but we have to be careful what we say to other people. That's why it says the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked, it says, pours forth evil. Proverbs 15:28. I like this one. In 21:23, it says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Isn't that a true word? I mean, if you think about the troubles that come when we gossip, when we fail to guard our mouths, we call it putting our foot in our mouths. I know none of you have done that, but I've done that several times. It's a horrible thing. It's a sin, but it's also quite embarrassing, isn't it? Then you got to go to the person and say, hey, well, by the way, I was wrong in what I told you and everything else. I don't know about you, but that's not a whole lot of fun. I'd have rather just kept my mouth shut in the beginning, but that's just me. But finally, if we're going to control gossip in our lives, listen, we have to have a desire to love. We have to have a desire to love. And look with me in Leviticus 19 real quick. And we're going to close this out. You can't have a good service if you don't quote from Leviticus, right? I mean, everybody loves Leviticus. Leviticus 19, let's start in 15. Because even in God's law, far back to Leviticus, loving others is actually related here to not gossiping. It says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor. Interesting. Usually we would say partial to the rich, but it says partial to the poor. Nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You know, the mission statement here at Calvary Chapel is that we believe a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church. And so what here is the great commandment? Well, Jesus told us in John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. But it wasn't new in the standpoint of time. We just read it in Leviticus, right? So it's not the Greek word there for new in the sense of this is a new in time thing. It is actually the Greek word for fresh. It is the Greek word for fresh. So let's look at this again. It says, Jesus says, a fresh commandment I give to you that you love one another. Now here's the freshness. As I have loved, past tense, you. As I have loved you. Man, see, that changes everything. The standard is how Jesus loves. So if we truly have a desire to love each other, to love the lost, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, man, the freshness is it's, we have to do it how Jesus does and did, how he loved us. I mean, because if we really think about that, how much God loves us, all that he has done for us, and how he says, listen, I want you to cover a sin, cover a transgression, and you think of how he has taken our sins and remembers them no more. And how can we swallow those tasty trifles of gossip and even have them in our lives when we really see the poison and the destruction that it brings? Amen? I mean, it's so sad. We want a desire in our hearts to be careful, but we also want a desire in our hearts to love. Man, that is so important. And not love how we think we should love, but love how Jesus has loved us. He left us the perfect example to follow. That I love people, my neighbor. Remember, neighbor, Rhea, it's friend, companion, person you meet doesn't necessarily mean a friend. It could be your neighbor, or like I said, a companion. But anyone that we encounter, we have to show God's love to them. Time is short, and I want to be a positive and effective witness for Christ. Amen. And we do that best by walking in love and just pointing them to Jesus. And then we, through his power and through his opportunities, we have the opportunity when they come to us and say, hey, you know, how are you facing the difficulties at work? Or how is your outlook so positive? And you can say, well, it's not really me, but it's my Savior. And he loves you. And he has a desire to know you just as I came to know him. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you for the word and the time that we've been able to come together. Lord, we're in a season of revolution. And the only way to have any form of revolution is that our lives, this church, and the members within it, inside and out, have a life that's pleasing unto you. That we truly, Lord, have a desire to change, especially in the area of gossip and slander. I don't want to walk in attributes that are from the accuser of the brethren, from Satan. But Lord, just show us those areas where we're failing. We may not even understand until tonight that we were just blowing it, maybe by entertaining gossip or maybe by sowing it. But Lord, give us that desire to protect the people that we encounter, to bring healing through your power, to speak things that promote life and healing, that bring restoration to the hurt and demonstrate that there is hope for the lost because of the love that you have for them and the sacrifice that your son made on Calvary. So Lord, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in this church called Calvary Chapel. Bless and keep your people this week in a special way. Bestir their spirits, Father God. Give them a desire to walk in your love and your truth, to reach people in a new way, and give them that wisdom to shut down gossip and slander in their lives. And I just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. The church says, would you stand to your feet with me this evening?